So if you have been living under a rock for the last 24 hours, you may not know what happened to South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford. He was, of course, completely AWOL for about 4 days. He vanished. There was some rumor that he had gone hiking on the Appalachian Trail, which, of course, runs through South Carolina. But some reporters ran into him at the airport coming back from Argentina. And in Argentina, the story told by the governor was that he actually was engaged in an extramarital affair with someone that he met by sending emails. Here's Governor Mark Sanford in his news conference that he gave yesterday afternoon.
I've let down a lot of people. That's the bottom line. And I let them down, and in every instance, I would ask their forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an immediate process. It is, in fact, a process that takes time, and I'll be in that process for quite some weeks and months, and I suspect years ahead.
Well, the resurrection of Mark Sanford, even before his huge fall from grace, is even absorbed by voters in the state of South Carolina, is certainly the focus today. And, of course, Mark Sanford joins a pantheon of governors who are either the object of scandal or certainly colorful, eccentric characters. What is it about governors? Here's just a small sample.
I'm glad this process has finally begun.
I've been unfaithful to my wife.
It was wrong. It was foolish. It was inexcusable.
I've acted in a way that violates my obligations to my family and that violates my or any sense of right and wrong.
Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich there. Of course, Mark Sanford speaking yesterday. James McGreevy in New Jersey and Elliot Spitzer in New York. We are thinking about, informally, a Governor's Hall of Fame on The Takeaway this morning. Give us your nomination at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MYTAKE at thetakeaway.org. And this morning we want to talk to a governor who is not involved in any sort of problem like this. Joining us, we are thrilled to have Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm on the phone from Michigan, who we're speaking with because she met with Barack Obama yesterday on the issue of health care, the issue that got a little bit buried in the Sanford coverage. But first of all, Governor Granholm, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me on.
How was the meeting with the president yesterday? I mean, what are his concerns? There's really a collaborative mission there between Washington and state houses on the whole issue of health care reform.
Well, the governors are the ones who see it happen on the ground, who implement Medicaid, who have to deal with the costs of Medicare. And so the president met with a bipartisan group of governors, part of a group of nine governors who hosted regional health care forums around the country in March and in April. And so we wanted to go and share with him what we learned from not just the forums, but as our experience as governors. There's just so much, you know, I know you hear a lot about what's going on in D.C. and the Republicans and the Democrats, and they're at odds. You know, the governors, we're very pragmatic, and we have a whole array of things that we all agree on. And so we really went to underscore the importance of urgency and of making sure our voices are in the mix, because we really want to see health care reform, and we want it now because it affects the economy as well.
Well, Governor, let's break out some of those issues, because I want people to understand firmly what the centers of power and policy are in state houses. So let's take the concerns about costs for Medicare and Medicaid. What is the chance that this whole reform process is going to saddle states like Michigan with mandates they can't afford right at a time when their fiscal house is so rickety to begin with?
Well, that was certainly one of the things that we wanted to bring to make sure that he is committed to not putting more costs on the states. Of course, the states have to balance their budgets. We don't have the luxury of what's happening in Washington. And so as we go through this reform transition, reform is not going to happen overnight. We want to make sure that if they expand populations, for example, of people who are eligible for health care, that they don't put that whole burden on the backs of states, which are having to lay people off, having to cut police and fire, having to cut lots of things to make sure that we balance. So that was one of the things we certainly all agree agree on, and I think that's going to be part of, I believe very strongly, that will be part of both the House and the Senate versions.
Well, Michigan is in a special category, and far be it from me to say that a 14.1% unemployment rate in Michigan is any kind of a policy opportunity, but many have described that one of the obstacles to health care reform is that people tend to stay with their coverage. In Michigan, with the enormous numbers of unemployed and rising uninsured, does the state have an opportunity to sweep up these uninsured with the proper resources from the federal government and really take a stab at making a statewide state pool of insured to deliver health care reform?
Well, absolutely. We're really, if you think about it, we're the poster child for why this has to happen now. I mean, the reason why our economy is in such a difficult position is because of the auto industry. The auto industry's had to compete with companies in countries where they provide health care. Last year, before the auto meltdown, there were more cars that were being built in Ontario, Canada, than in Michigan for the first time.
Wow.
And they were going there, those auto companies, because health care is provided. So if you're going to compete on a global playing field, you have to make sure that our job providers get some relief on this and not put the entire burden on the back of business. That's one reason why we are in this fix. And the other thing is we have a, you know, it's sort of a morbid, I don't want to say joke, but we have a saying that the auto companies are really healthcare companies
right.
who make cars to pay for it.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, we don't want to see other companies or other states go through what Michigan's going through. So we could be the example of why this is so important and why it's so important right now.
Well,
yes, there is an opportunity to provide larger degree of coverage. Maybe you have skinnied down benefits, but what you really want to do is give people, if they've got good health care, you want to allow them to have the choice of keeping that. But there's so much waste in the system right now.
Let me just ask you one quick question, and under, like, you know, 15, 20 seconds here, really, because we got to go.
Okay.
You can actually pool your resources and make things cheaper at the state level. Give me one example of how you've done that, and then we really do have to go.
Yep, really quickly. Economies of scale, very important. We've done the same thing with prescription drugs, significantly reduced the cost for those who want, in the state government, in our state employees, as well as senior citizens. We can do that across the country.
Buying in bulk. Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm contributing to the national debate on health care reform. Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Jennifer Granholm, a governor without the kinds of problems we've heard this morning. The health care debate continues here on The Takeaway and on our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.